Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Hi. I'm Leo Allen from Voluntary Input. Voluntary Input is a podcast in which I talk people and tech, and often I get to talk to some of the amazing people behind the tech. Simply visit voluntaryinput.com to find all the ways you can listen and subscribe to the show so that you don't miss an episode. Select contact if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, or better yet, select register as a guest because we're always looking for great guests like you.
Everyone, welcome back to another Middle Age Gaming Podcast. I hope you have enjoyed your week so far. It is Wednesday. We had poor economic data last week, but we're not in a crypto podcast. We're not going to get into that today. But we're talking about happy things, gaming things, and cats as well. As you can see, a tail protruding off of Antoine's left shoulder. We are the perfect podcast for all you middle-aged gamers who play games slowly. It takes you one, two, three, four, five, half a year. Play 2 to 3 games a year. This is why you have to be listening to us. This is why you have to share this with your friends and family and all the people your age, people who have gray hairs, even though they're not that old, but people say they're old. But that is another story for another show. We are back with your favorite three people. We were supposed to have a guest today. Luke, I apologize. He probably couldn't make it. Things happen. We understand. Hopefully we'll get Luke on at another time. We're going to be trying to get you guys some guests, at least one every 2 weeks. Our next guest will probably be my coworker, and we'll have to do this podcast at a totally different time because of time differences, but we'll fill you in later. As usual, we're going to start off with Adam. What have you been playing?
I've been playing mostly Dust Diver. I haven't had too much time to play. I played a little bit of .hack GU. I am progressing. One thing I really like about it is the fact that it is such an old game on the PS2. Combat finally has opened up because the character in the game is a special class that can... They're supposed to be a jack of all trades, so they can equip almost any weapon, but they're not as good as it, good at them as the specialized classes. But in the first game, you could only equip one weapon at a time. And in the second game, they've allowed it that you can swap between weapons mid-combat. So that's really opened the combat up quite a bit. It was a lot more interesting to play. And being such an old game, it's interesting going back and seeing how side questing was done then versus now. You get on The Witcher and side quests are these huge, long, massive things. But back then, it's just like one mission. So the game actually goes really quickly. You can get story beats pretty fast. So I'm enjoying that. And then, yeah, I played some Dust Diver yesterday. And I'll be playing that again on Friday. And I'm really enjoying that. That one's a lot of fun.
So, Crean, now you have to clip this, 5 seconds where Adam talk about what a long, massive thing. Sorry, mate, that goes on TikTok.
Anton, what about you? You said you played 1 hour of something just before the show today.
Yeah, same. Evil Genius 2. Again, same as Adam. I didn't have much time to play. But Evil Genius is really cool. You're still the base building and RTS. I complained about the fact that it was a bit slow. Same complaint because on the main story, they put you a little red line saying if you accept the reward for accomplishing this mission, you won't be able to do some side quest will disappear. Which, you know, for a completionist or something, it'd be, no! My side quests, don't they make them disappear? And you have about 10 side quests that you can only do one by one. And I said it last week, but again, you can't do them 2, 3, 4 at a time, which slows the game down massively, and that's a pain. So you have to do your side quest pleasantly, one by one, which makes you lose a bit interest in the game before finally going back to the main quest. So I'll tell you more next week about the very interesting main quest, because you apparently have lots of different kind of dictators. But for now, I think I'm still with the tutorial dictator, and I already have 40 hours of game or something like this.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like the starter mission or starter stuff. And I feel like they need to make this game more dynamic. Simply by allowing you to not destroy your side quest by continuing the main quest, first of all, and to more than one side quest at a time, that'd be great.
Nice. 40 hours, that's impressive. You still have more. Anton, is it still capturing your attention? Are you still enjoying it after 40 hours?
Yes, because I really like base building, but it's not something where I'm going to be a... There's no story. It's really for me to say, yeah, I'm going to put this room exactly like in this angle because I'm a maniac and I want to have my stuff completely parallel with this kind of machine. It's when you clean your bedroom or in a game, but never in real life. It's exactly this. I am a maniac when it comes to gaming. And that's why it's just, it's not, I'm captivated by this game. It's just, I feel like this decoration is crooked. I need to put it right. One click in the middle. Ah, much better. Now I can just save and go to bed. It's more this kind of stuff. No, it's fun to play. As it's the kind of game that you play in between two intense games. You know that you had a very intense game. You get out, you are full of the story in your head and it was fantastic and you loved it. But, and you don't want to go right away on another game which is as intense. So you just want something really calm and which will take a lot of hours, but you never get really invested in it. But on the contrary, you never really want to let it go because you want to see what's coming after. It's this kind of game. It's, let's call it a transitional game into I'm not sure what. But yes, I think I was talking about doing Chrono Trigger or something at some point if I can find a portage which is good enough because I heard that the Steam one is crap, which is a shame. And if you have any recommendation for me, I'll take it.
You can definitely tweet at us, right? Let Antoine know what he should be playing or could consider to be playing, right? Twitter.com/gaminged, GamingAged. So I've been playing Disney's Dreamlight Valley, much to a lot of people's surprise, maybe. It is a game that was released in early access on every platform except mobile. So it's not on iOS. It is not on Android. It is also not on Mac. I guess I realized the other thing. So it is on Steam, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch as well. Though from what I've heard on the Switch, it does not play very well. There are a lot of frame rate drops because it is a very beautiful game. I've recorded gameplay via OBS the first time, and I think I was playing at 4K 60 on my PC, and OBS did not like me capturing at high quality, so it crashed. And then I used the inbuilt Windows tool, DVR tool for that. That worked a lot better. So I have some gameplay. I want to throw up a video, but what is Disney's Dreamlight Valley? It is made by Gameloft, and anyone who's played a mobile game, Asphalt, I think it's that car game, Asphalt something, Asphalt 9, or I think there are numbers after it, but they make those kind of games, and I don't know how they started working with Disney, and I was a bit like, okay, is this going to be like a typical mobile microtransaction-filled, energy-filled game? But no, it is not. And I'm throwing up the picture for those of you who are watching this video on YouTube, and in the picture, you see a castle, ominous pink smoke, a little pink tentacle, you see Stitch, you see whoever's princess that is, and whoever the other person is, and Wally is the only other person I recognize.
That's Belle, dude.
Oh, I don't remember who some of these people are. Anyway, so in this game, you are brought into this like dream place that is the bridge between all the different Disney worlds. Something bad has happened, which is why you see pink tentacles on the ground. You are the chosen one, chosen to fix it all. And you have magical powers to do that. And you're led by Merlin the Magician, right, from the original Mickey's Sorcerer's Apprentice. And he is like, hey, do this. And you have a house, just like you would in any sort of farming game like Animal Crossing Stardew Valley. If you've been under a rock, you would have not seen a lot of articles. But like you have Scrooge McDuck is in there. And he is the equivalent of the guy in Animal Crossing whose name I just forgot, who gives you all these quests and who you owe money to. But you don't owe money to Scrooge McDuck, but Scrooge McDuck basically, like one of the weird things in this game, you do a lot of quests, right? And a lot of other games, you get rewards for quests. In this game, for most of the quests, you get no rewards except experience. But it's pretty easy to earn money in the game. It is early access, so there's a lot of stuff that is not explained at all. A lot of stuff is like, okay, so if I upgrade this, what does this get me? You don't know. And I just upgrade, I'm like, oh, I should have done this 5 hours ago. But it's a fantastic game. It looks really good. You get to make your own. I made a Korean and it looks pretty close to me. It even has a sort of skinny body and a bit of a belly coming to 40. And so in this game, there's so much customization options. It reminds me of Adam's love of The Sims 4. So I play as a guy, but as you go around, one of the things you get all the time, you get clothing options. So you pick up a lot of clothes, but I've been picking a lot of women's clothes, which is very interesting. So it makes me think at some point, I don't know if they're going to do this. So this might be anti-Disney, and Disney's very on the money when it comes to branding these days, but maybe you'll be able to do it in most of these games, you'll be able to get married and have somebody else in your house. But yeah, you do quests as you play the game, you unlock different characters. There's already I've unlocked the Remy, the guy from Ratatouille. I've got the guy from Tangled as well, the prince. Yeah, Adam's showing another picture with Ariel is there as well. I've unlocked Ursula, and there's different realms you can go to. As you go into realms, you do quests in those realms and you bring heroes over. But yeah, it's right now when you're buying the game, because you do have to pay money for it on every platform, you're buying what's called a Founders Pack, and you get like a premium currency. And I've looked into the premium currency, and the premium currency just gives you extra cosmetic unlockables. It doesn't do anything. Like if you're a big fan of the light here that was on Disney Plus, you get to buy a Buzz Rocket and stuff. So it looks fine. There is no energy meter. There is no like microtransaction, typical sort of mobile gaminess. I can imagine when this becomes full, like this is only going to launch next year, like another full year of early access. But it's still just so much. Like you can play this now. I'm so glad I got it. Because it just, and I was telling Antoine before the show, like Antoine has played my time at Sandrock. I finished my time at Porsche. I'm a big fan of what those guys are doing, but I feel bad because this is just, there's everything they're doing in this game is superior to Stardew Valley, superior to my time at Sandrock, superior to Harvest Moon. It's just like with the IP, with the stuff that even at guys of our age, we know all these Disney characters, it's just has that much deeper connection. Even if you're almost going to be 40. Anyway, I'm going to stop blabbering on about this. Disney's Dreamlight Valley, it is about $13, $14 pretty much everywhere you can buy this. You can get higher tiers of packs you can buy, but it just gives you extra like premium currency, extra cosmetic stuff. If you like that sort of stuff, you can go for it. I highly recommend it. I'm probably going to be playing this until the end of this year because it is that fun.
And of course, only wonder if you have the Xbox Game Pass.
Yes. Oh, Antoine mentioned it as well, Xbox Game Pass.
Just a quick question before we move on, and a remark. You compare it to Stardew Valley. Do you have any kind of farming in there? Or?
Yeah, you farm. Really? I got tired of figuring out what is the most profitable crop per minute. I just Googled it. So there's already spreadsheets where you can look online. I'm like, okay, this is the thing you should be farming. I'm like, oh, good. That saves me a lot of time because there's so much of stuff to do besides like generating money. So it's, there's so much stuff you can Google. Like I've Googled stuff already 5 or 6 times already just because I don't want to figure it out. And there's just some people have already put in a good 100 hours in, and I'm an hour 7 or hour 8.
Okay, and since we're on the topic of Disney, do you guys want to comment on the shitstorm of Black Ariel?
The trailer for the new... Little Mermaid.
Disney live action movie. There's Little Mermaid, and the actress playing Ariel is black, and of course,
there's a shitstorm. Oh, okay. Okay. Of course. I saw people change the color of the skin. That's just stupid. As a person of color, let me tell you, I think it's great. I think more representation, the better. I'm tired of seeing white people all the time. No offense, white people.
What made me really laugh is that after this, you know, they made Elizabeth II. A biography by Netflix, and of course you see an Elizabeth II with a black actress. That was fun.
I saw those memes.
So what do you think, Adam, since Anton brought it up and we're diverging today?
Yeah, no, I'm on the fence on it. Like, for instance, my wife is Taiwanese, obviously, so she's not white, but she thinks it's really dumb. Because for me, it's one of those things where you have lots of African stories. You have Anansi and a lot of those. Why do they have to redo an old IP? Why don't they just do a new IP? That's what I don't get.
Oh, please, yes.
Like, why do you have to take a movie that you already have and redo it and then change up the characters? Why don't you just do a new story? The Princess and the Frog was an entirely new story, right? Like, why don't you just do that? That's what I don't get.
They don't have to rewrite a story. They just take the old, put characters, and that's it.
Yeah. I will say the only comment that I had after watching the trailer was that I think doing it, and I saw a tweet on this, and somebody was like, okay, I think this movie's going to suck. Not because it's a black actress. I think it's going to suck because all the live action movies lately have sucked. So it's not racism. It's just experience.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it if they do the original version of The Little Mermaid, not the Disney one.
They're doing the original for the most part. They're adding 4 new songs. I know that.
No, I'm not talking about the Disney movie. I'm talking about the real story of The
Little Mermaid. Oh, yeah. No, if you're going to change the story entirely and do the original one where she kills herself at the end.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
But the only thing
That's
I will
terrible.
Say.
Who would want to watch that?
A lot of people.
No.
A lot of people would want to watch that. But
most of Disney story has a very bad ending.
No. Happy endings, man. Don't destroy the world like Game of Thrones.
But Game of Thrones is designed that way. But the one thing I did notice that I did comment on, because when right after they did the trailer, my wife wanted to watch the original one. So we went back and watched the original one on Disney Plus. And I saw like a tweet where somebody did a side-by-side comparison of the trailer of the live-action one with the original cartoon. And the part where she's singing Part of Your World, I noticed that when you put them side by side, the way that they have done the art in the original movie, the eyes are just so big and so expressive, and the face is so expressive that when you put a live action person next to it, it just feels really subdued. It doesn't have that. It doesn't have the range of emotion that a cartoon character can have because they can have those exaggerated facial features. And it's the same problem that they had with The Lion King, where in The Lion King, when they did it, they were like, we want the animals to look accurate to real life, but animals don't emote in the same way humans do. And so it made the characters look really dead. If a scene's really like shocking, they don't look shocked. They look the way a lion would look, which is this just like stoic face all the time. And so they lost a lot of that expressiveness. And seeing the live action next to the cartoon at the same time, even on a human face, you lose a lot of that expressiveness just because a human face cannot emote in the same exaggerated way that a cartoon face can. So in that sense, it felt like less than the original film. And for that reason, I was kind of like, oh, it's inevitably going to be compared. It's going to be really hard to get some of these kind of really big faces and really, it's either going to feel like it's way too much really old school theater where everybody was like, because that's how they express in the cartoon. In real life, everything just feels subdued and feels toned down. And for that reason, I think it's probably unwise to try to redo it, which is why I think they would have been better off if they had just tried a new story. Like with Moana. Moana is an entirely new story. Why couldn't they have done something like that? Yeah. So for me, I think not a problem with the black actress. I just think redoing Little Mermaid was a bad choice.
I don't know if you saw, but on the VOD Disney Plus, you have Pinocchio Live Action as well.
And I've heard that one's gotten terrible reviews as well. Because again, people were saying it just feels wooden and it feels dead. It doesn't feel...
Which one of the live action had a good mark, honestly?
Aladdin got okay marks, but it was just okay.
Yeah, that's it.
I think a lot of people are just too critical. You're holding things up to the same expectations. And I watched Pinocchio. I think it was fantastic. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But Antoine.
But no, what did it add?
Exactly. I'm like Adam. I enjoy far more a new IP like Moana or Princess and the Frog rather than a remake of something that I saw 20 years ago when I was a kid. Leave me with a cartoon I saw 20 years ago when I was a kid. That was fantastic. I don't want to see a live action of that.
I think it's good. It's for so many years. Again, growing up in South Africa, pre-apartheid times, I watched TV shows with white protagonists. I'm like, oh my God, if I was white, I'd have superpowers like The Flash. Because I watched the original Flash in the 90s. Yes, that is what I thought, Adam. And I think it's not fair. Why should they have to make new IPs? Like, people watch this growing up. It's time for more representation. If people don't like it, that's their problem, right?
Well, we didn't like Beauty and the Beast either, and that was white people. Yeah. Point is that we want new IPs. Not the point that they're redoing old IPs.
The point is, as a kid, you're watching this stuff, you're absorbing it. You're like, why am I different? Why do I look different? Why is this person like this with long hair? Why does this person get all this stuff? And I think it's nice. So some black girl in Tennessee somewhere can say, oh my God, I can beat the Little Mermaid.
You can do a Green Lantern movie with a black guy. One of the Green Lantern was a black
guy. He's black guy, yes, John Stewart. But I'm saying it's not even just that. It's people are talking about how the Lord of the Rings is, right, is the surge of women as main actors and men being weak and stuff. I think that's also, it's another fantastic thing, right? men have been powerful and dominated meter for however many years, right? Hundreds of years. It's time for men to take the back seat and let women be the charge in TV shows and movies and video games, like Forspoken as a good example as well.
Yes, but
Forspoken is a new IP.
Exactly. But my point is, it's new IPs don't have the same resonance as old IPs do.
No, they don't.
Exactly. It's for like a kid growing up right now, watching The Little Mermaid, and being a person of color is going to have much greater impact. Because, right, as much as people don't believe it, TV, video games do impact you psychologically in some sense. It varies from person to person, right? Yeah. And that's why it has to be a person of color. It should not be. It's time for diversification in TV and media and video games. And I disagree. New IPs are great, but I think we still need to change existing IPs.
I'm very happy with representation of color or women or whatever you want, as long as it makes sense because the actor is talented or because it makes sense with the story and not because it's pure marketing, because this looks crap. It doesn't work like a Ghostbuster with the four ladies. That was horrible because there was no sense in it. It's just because, hey, remade Ghostbusters with girls.
Again, no. Because your perspective is like, for you as a man, it doesn't make sense, right?
No, just because the story didn't make sense. It was really just a marketing plot. There's some other stuff which works perfectly with black actors or women actress, and it works perfectly, and I have no problem with this. Just when it's too much, we want this kind of movie with whatever actor just because we want to make number, not because it resonates with the public, just because we want to make lots of money. And that I don't like. Because it cannot be a good show.
Bridgerton is the exception to that. Do you guys know what is Bridgerton?
I've seen the trailers. I haven't seen the show.
So exactly right. Is people of color in Victorian England, right? Fantastic show. One of Netflix's most watched shows, right? Indian people, black people. Again, not historically accurate. But marketing, it didn't make sense. But they made tons of money.
But is it a remake of an old IP?
Is it a remake of
No, it's not. It's an original IP. I think the Jon Stewart thing is a good example because Jon Stewart is not Hal Jordan, right? Sure. Hal Jordan is Hal Jordan. Jon Stewart is Jon Stewart. They're two different people. It's not a remake. You're not just swapping the color of a character and then getting the audience that you're not taking an established audience and you're like, okay, we know these people are into it. We know they're gonna pay for it. So we're just gonna throw this name on it just to get those people in. You know what I mean? You're creating something new. And I talked a bit about this on one of my clubhouses where like Star Wars, Harry Potter, these are video games. We talk sometimes about video game culture, okay? So in a way it is a culture. And to people who are gamers, this is a very important thing to them. The word canon comes from a religious context, right? So to people who are invested in these things, this is something that's very important to them. This is something that's a very big part of their culture that they feel culturally attached to. So when you come along and say, I'm going to change this up and I'm going to do it different or whatever, you know, I don't think it's the same as cultural appropriation, but I think it comes from in their psychology. I think it comes from the same place where this is my culture. This is something that's important to me. This is something I've been invested in for a really long time. And here's somebody from the outside coming along and changing it and then telling me what my culture is. And I think that's why people get offended by it. I think that's why people get upset by it. Whereas if you come up with something like a new IP, you're creating a new culture that people can join into, as opposed to going into a culture that already exists and telling those people, no, I'm going to change this. You know what I mean? So I think that's why people get offended sometimes. And part of it's racism. Yeah, sure, definitely. But I think part of it too is that, you know, people get attached to these things. It's very important to them personally. And when you come along and say, I'm going to change it, I'm going to do this, and you're going to like it. That's the same as if you had, say, a movie, and in the movie you have a religious figure, Jesus or Muhammad or whoever, and Noble Cooper here is saying wrestling is real to him. So that's his religion. But like, to these people, to people, like, this is part of their culture. And when you come along, or even with wrestling, right? If somebody, like, wrestling is about the drama or something like that, if they came in and they were like, okay, we're going to change up wrestling now, we're going to make it, I don't know how you would change it, but if you changed it up in some fundamental way, knowing that you're getting the wrestling fans to come in, and then, like, we're going to take the fighting out of wrestling. It's too violent. We're still going to have all the drama, but we're going to take out the ring, we're going to take out the thing, and we're just going to turn it into soap opera and just do behind the scenes stuff. Wrestling people would be angry at that, because that's part of something they enjoy. So for me, I think that's part of the reason why people get upset about these things. And that's why when you have a new IP, I think, yes, definitely coming up with an old IP and changing it, you're going to get a bigger audience, because you're attracting a new audience, and by default you're starting with a bigger base audience that starts off on. But at the same time, that feels lazy, because you're like, oh, I'm guaranteed to get this audience, you know what I mean? That's my perspective on it. But I agree with you. I think there should be more representation. I think things like Forspoken are fantastic.
All right, Anton, you should go before I talk.
No, I agree with that absolutely. And I was thinking, in live action movie, if you want a representation and a lady like Moana would be perfect. A girl from the island, strong character, great. I love the cartoon. Plus, like, I wouldn't mind a movie with a lot of sun and a coconut tree and stuff like this, because for me, winter is coming, so I'd love that for the winter. But that's it, yeah.
I understand with you guys, but at the same time, right, anyone born in the 80s, we were forced to watch stuff with white people. And it's, and then Adam was saying, and then now people are forcing people to watch, like, remakes. And that's fair. We were forced to. So you guys should be forced to watch stuff remade with black people and Asian people and stuff. And then the 90s Friends cast of all white people, How I Met Your Mother, Seinfeld, right? And all this stuff. And that there was no way you could not associate yourself with some white Jewish guy in New York running a soup kitchen. It's just, it's not cool. And I'm so glad that we've come around. And I am disappointed that the Little Mermaid reaction remake is probably not going to do well, because people are going, hey, this is a remake, this is going to suck, I can associate with this black person. How the hell did I grow up associating with white people for all this time? You should go watch it. That is my take. Whatever it is, redone IP or not, support it, because it's important to your friends like a Korean and their kids who have daughters or sons of color. Is cool. And especially you, man, your kids are half Chinese. They need representation in old IPs.
One of my heroes when I was a kid was Barracuda from the A-Team. Mr.
Oh, yes. Yeah, of course.
We got a comment here from Noble Cooper. He says, what about the new Cowboy Bebop? Wouldn't that be the greatest show of this time, in quotes, if it wasn't first made in the 90s?
I don't know. Oh, you guys watch this stuff more than I do,
because it's a bad remake.
But he's saying, if it hadn't already existed in the 90s, would it have been considered good?
Would the remake be good if there's no original to be copied from?
If the original was the modern version. If the original didn't exist and they just created, hey, let's make a Cowboy Bebop show, and then the new one existed, but the new one was the original one.
That's a great, not just for that, for the Little Mermaid. If there was no original Little Mermaid, I think people would be totally fine with a black lady being a mermaid.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because it would be a new IP.
Because it's a new IP. That's exactly it. That's what we're saying this whole time.
And don't get me wrong, I understand why you guys are saying that, but I think it's still unfair that you have to, when you go through as a kid growing up now, whatever age you are, you're going to watch The Little Mermaid and Aladdin and all this stuff and see.
Aladdin wasn't white.
Yeah, it's kind of Arabic.
Looks like white. Honestly speaking, he does not look brown in the cartoon. This is brown.
He's Middle Eastern.
But he does not look like it.
He looks like it to me.
In Agrabah, you're supposed to.
They have the black hair and stuff, but
they have darker skin.
You imagine that, yes, more like Middle Eastern.
Yeah, he's definitely Middle Eastern.
I just don't know. How did Antoine sidetrack us with this hot topic?
because of that easier. So.
But yeah, as for the Cowboy Bebop one, I don't know. It might have been... Okay, so that's the thing. Is the Cowboy Bebop thing, yeah, might have been pretty good. For example, the character of Faye was changed significantly from this... not, was it unconfident femme fatale to the kind of this, the little sister kind of character, who is the foul-mouthed little sister character, she would have been fine. And people might would have accepted that because the original didn't exist. But because the original does exist, and like I said, this was a cultural movement, people internalize it. It's very important to them. So when you come along and change it, it's, pardon my language, but it feels like you're shitting on my, it feels like you're shitting on my thing. That's what it feels like to people. Yeah, Noble Cooper here is saying, yes, that's the whole point. Whichever one is used to back then, that's the one that will always be like now. The change has big standards. So yeah, it would be fine on its own. But the thing is, if you go back and yeah, it's always going to be compared to the original one. It's like what you said with The Little Mermaid. If the original one didn't exist, people wouldn't probably care. But the fact that the original one does exist, it is important to people. They do care. And that's the thing is why, and it's one of those things too. And I completely agree with you. The point where you're making where you're like, oh, like you guys have been, we've been forced to watch your guys' stuff forever. Now you need to be forced to watch our stuff. I completely agree with that and completely get that. But at the same time, like when... Do you think that on some level, when Disney makes these decisions, that they are thinking like, hey, this is going to cause controversy. That's going to cause publicity. Do you think that's part of their conscious decision? Is they're consciously thinking, if I do this, it's going to get more attention? And if they are thinking that way, don't you think that's a little bit predatory to, oh, hey, we're going to cash in on this kind of a controversy? We're going to cash in on it?
Of course. Yes, yeah, there are some... marketing people behind looking at charts. They don't care about the movies, like targeting audiences, this and this. So here's your chart, do a movie.
I don't know, I'm curious on Korean's opinion here.
No, like for me, I think like the old saying is bad publicity is still good publicity. And whatever it takes for representation in movies, I don't care really. I have a big thing when it comes to representation. My friend's daughters, they go to school in Taiwan. They are dark-skinned, half Indian, half Taiwanese people. And they struggle because there's no representation here in media. There's really very few representation in Western media. And it's not fair. And I think it's time to change, no matter the cost, whatever it takes. It's time for, just things to be equal.
But, okay, let me bring you another point of view, okay? Imagine an IP. I'm going to drop a name. And forget about the representation, okay? Say, because you have some stuff which are cult in the pop culture. Think Akira, okay? What if Disney, Pixar, whatever, come and say, we're going to do a live action Akira? You don't know anything about that, okay? Anything else apart from we're going to do a live action Akira? I don't give a shit if they're going to make Akira a girl or black or stuff. You don't touch this because it's cult. And whatever you're going to make, I'm always going to compare to the original. And I'm always going to think, that's shit. Leave my cult stuff alone. I don't want your stuff you are doing just to make money. Leave my. And it has nothing to do with the presentation. Just as Adam say, don't touch my stuff. It's my toys in my bedroom. Don't touch them. They're mine.
I think Akira is an exception. Have you read the comic?
Of course, but imagine...
Because I made the movie like before the comic was finished. So you could make an Akira where you do the full story or you do the back half of it and it would be an entirely new thing from the original.
Yeah, but that's why I was pissed at Hollywood when they were buying and remaking all these Asian movies. And
Dragon Ball was awful.
Dragon Ball was... Yeah, but think Juno. Juno was terrible. The Korean movie was much better. The Departed was a good movie, but the original Hong Kongese movie was so much better. So much remake from the Asian, because it's Asian, Western people don't know necessarily these movies. I happen to know them because one of my friends was big into Asian movies, so I watched a lot of them. When I saw the remake, I was like, remake with white people, that's shit. The original,
you do
was
get
much
that quite
better.
A bit, to be honest. Yeah, like of The course. Ring, and people are like, go back and watch the Japanese one.
Yeah, I prefer to see the Hong Kongese movie original version with subtitles. If they start to do Once Upon a Time in China, but back in Los Angeles, whatever, no thank you. And again, that would be for white people and be, no, I don't want white people in that. That's not there as, just, you know, that's cult. That's a cult Asian IP. Don't touch it.
And I know a lot of people that were upset when Ugly Betty came to America because it was originally from, where is it, Argentina, Brazil? It's from somewhere, it's originally a South American show. And they brought it to America, and they were like, oh, come on, you're not even coming up with original ideas. You're just copying somebody else's.
So, yeah, that's my point of view. But again, representation is very good as long as it's well made. And with new IPs, even better, because it's stronger message.
I don't think well made is even an issue. Like, this loads of software is bad, right? It's people have to have chances to get in there and acting. Like, the number of actors of color and actresses of color is so few because they've had fewer chances in our respective countries where we're originally from, right? America, South Africa, France as well. The number of French actors of color is not as many as people who are white, right, Antoine?
Oh, the most famous French actor at the moment is Omar Sy.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Omar is quite black.
But how many Omars are there, right? They're not that many but there are so many other...
A lot of the French actors are issued from the immigration. Jean Reno is his French name, but that's just a nickname. His real name is Juan Moreno, and they were Hispanic at first. Huh? A lot of French people are coming from immigration, so...
Sure, but that's what I'm saying, is there's got to be bad stuff as well, right? Like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, and it's not necessarily the fault of the actor. I'm saying I want it to be well made by the people who write the script. Again, I don't care who is acting. I don't care. What I want is that the story is good. I don't want the story to be made just because we want to target a certain audience. I want the story to be good because the story is good. And after whatever the actor is playing it, as long as it's good, I'm fine with it. I'm just really disappointed these days because I'm not making a movie because I want the story to be good and touch a lot of people. I want a story which has a badass girl from this place because my target audience is this. Build a story around this. That's not how I'm going to get into it because this is not the... For me, it's a bad building blocks for a movie. For me, the good building blocks, I'm doing a story, a great story, and then you adapt the actor. You can adapt the actor as much as you want. I don't care. As long as the story is good, So whatever you tweak you make are going to be good, especially if it's a new IP, because you don't have any background reference. And like annoying people are not going to be annoying because it's new. But that's just how it is. And I just don't like the Disney live action because... they are not well made. Even Mulan was made especially for the Chinese market with Chinese actors and everything. And the Chinese was the first one to say, oh my God, that was bad. What was that? Get it away. Because Hollywood thought, Chinese people are going to like that. Chinese people are like, no. Let us, the Mulan, will show you how it's supposed to be made. And they did, and their version was better.
Adam, what's your final take?
Okay, so we got a comment here from Noble Cooper. He says, that's basically how art does. It doesn't matter who plays it or even how much money it makes. All that matters is how it makes you feel. And I think that's actually a good point. For The Little Mermaid and things like that, it really matters how it makes people feel. One way or the other, they're making it. There are people that are going to enjoy it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I have to enjoy it. And that's fine. I can not like something and other people can like it, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that in that sense, it's fine if they want to make it, and I don't see a problem with that. So my take is, yeah, I personally don't like it when they remake things like that. I'm one of those people that, like, when I get a remake, I like it to be a one for one. I wasn't very happy when I found out Final Fantasy VII was going to be remade and changed into an action game. I played it. I really enjoyed it. I won't judge Little Mermaid until I've seen it, but the fact that they've had a bad track record with live action doesn't give me a lot of faith. But I agree. I think there should be more live action. I think there should be more representation. But I do think that there should be more new IPs, and they should be focusing more on new IPs, because I do feel like when you do remakes, it feels lazy. It feels like a cash grab. It feels like they're putting in minimal effort. And that just goes for anything. White actors, black actors, any actors. I just want to see new stuff. I don't want to see just repeats of old IPs. I want to see new stories being told.
And I'm going to finish on, I talked in a previous podcast of my love for Love, Death and Robot. Love, Death and Robot, lots of their mini movies come from Out Studio. Maybe the director called Neil Blomkamp. Sorry for destroying his name, District 9, etc. This guy is doing 15-minute stories. They are fantastic. Korean won't like it because it's mostly horror. But Yeah, new IPs, mini movie, fantastic. And you can put whatever you want. I don't care, because the way he directs actors and everything is great. So you can have as much representation as you want in this movie, because this director is genius into making great stories. And that's just what I want.
Fantastic divergence today.
I think Korean should have the last say for today.
I was going to say, what are we going to talk about next week?
I was mentioning the fact that we are late on the Starfield.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do Starfield next week. So we're going to recap Starfield for next week. Okay.
And cool. We still have a look to reschedule.
Possibly. Yes, we'll I will. Yeah, possibly. I will send him a message after this show to ask what happened. And then we'll have my coworker Diego on in 2 weeks, if I can schedule it at some point in that week. Cool. So, gents, what are we playing this week?
Same thing I've been playing. I don't think I'm going to be able to finish anything that I'm currently doing. So I'm just continue on with that. And hopefully I'll be done by the end of the month so I can start doing some horror stuff for October.
Cool.
Kren really is really tempting me with Disney Dreamlight Valley. I saw it on the Xbox. I'm not sure. I don't think I will have a lot of time to play. So, and I still want to keep doing my Evil Genius. I want to finish at least the first part with the tutorial dictator. But I really want to try the Dreamlight stuff. You said it's early access, so I still have time, right?
Yeah, you still have a lot of time. I would not like play in front of your kids. Your kids are like, oh my God, they want to play too.
Then instead, I saw there was a great update on Subnautica, and I don't think they're gonna see an update based on docks, so more base building. And I don't think it's story related. I think it's really a more base block for your base. So more Legos. I love Legos. So I'm very likely start the game just to build my seat out a little bit more.
Nice. And with the Dreamland Valley as well, the one of the things they were saying is that they're going to all that stuff, since we did talk about Disney a lot today, they're going to be wrapping all that stuff into Dreamland Valley. You'll be able to recruit Pinocchio and other stuff. And so all this stuff will tie into the game, which I think will make it even more addictive. If you have Disney Plus and you watch the stuff, or you're a Disney fan, or if I'm not a Disney fan, but if you have that connection with the movies and the game, I think it'll really make it hard to compete in this genre moving forward. Okay, so guys, keep an eye out for Starfield next week. We will be recapping the videos. I think I've seen some of them. I think probably Adam has to watch some of these Starfield videos. Anton's watched as well. If you have any Starfield questions, key them up, send them to us, and we can discuss them next week. You're right, you can email us middleagegaming2020@gmail.com. And yep, if you liked today's discussion, let us know. We're always willing to argue live on camera for everybody.
If you didn't enjoy it, I apologize.
I apologize, but that's what I think, so.
It's always good. It's always good. I never get to argue about stuff like that, so it's fine.
I think it's good that people can argue in good company and not be offended by other people's opinions. It's okay to disagree sometimes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Like I remember Antoine reminds the long walks up to Portobello College and him saying stuff that I disagreed with. I saying stuff he disagreed with, so it's all good.
We were young then.
We were young, indeed. All right, we will see you guys next week, 1 hour early, because we'll be back to the same time at 9 a.m. Taiwanese time, 9 p.m. Canadian time.
Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Later.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!